Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Marone for Westchester Talk Radio. Welcome to another edition of Nonprofit Spotlight. And Westchester Talk Radio is supported by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, and produced by Shark Creative. Our guest today, someone who you may have met before. I've certainly met him before through my work with Westchester Talk Radio, is Don Zim. And we're here to talk about an outing that he coordinated and sponsored for the Boys and Girls Club of Mount Vernon. But a little bit about Don first. He serves as the Vice President of Executive Search at Stephen Douglas and is based out of their Westchester County office. He's a member of the firm's operations, sales, and marketing supply chain, finance, and HR practices. Just a few things here. A CEO and entrepreneur with over 30 years sales, management, and hiring experience. Don is focused on helping organizations grow through people-focused management. A frequent speaker and author of many articles about turnover, employee selection, and satisfaction. The man has founded 7 companies, raised over $25 million in private and venture equity, sold 3 companies, and has been an Inc. 500 winner and finalist in the ENY, that's Ernst & Young, Entrepreneur of the Year Award. Now, schooling, and we've already talked a little bit, he's a hockey fan of the Cornell team, and well, he should be. When you look at this stuff, he holds a BA, or a BS rather, in Industrial Labor Relations from Cornell and an MBA from New York University. He serves as the Vice President and Treasurer of the Board of Directors of the Cornell ILR Alumni Association. He's a board member, again, as we've suggested, of the Mount Vernon Boys and Girls Club and is a volunteer and former long-term board member for the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital in Valhalla, New York. One wonders how he finds the time to breathe. Welcome once again, Don Zim. It's great to see you, sir.
Likewise, Bob. Thank you so much for having me.
What do you do in your free time?
Play a lot of golf. Golf's my passion. You know, my kids are grown, and spent a lot of my life following them to sport events all over the place. But they're out of the house now, and I get to play a lot of golf. So,
where in God's name do you find the time? I mean, you're at a point in your illustrious career where you should have even more free time, but you're doing all of these things. And that brings us, we'll go to the Boys and Girls Club first, but then I'd like people to get to know you even a little better. You volunteer and engage many organizations. Why the Boys and Girls Club of Mount Vernon? That's okay. That happens. We're used to it. This is
all right. Sorry about that. This is the inevitability of working from home. Bob. All we need to do is turn on the news to see what's going on in our society today, to understand how critical it has become for everybody to have an equal opportunity at success. Here we are living in affluent Westchester County. And within Westchester County, there exists Mount Vernon, a community where many, many, many of the kids don't have that equal opportunity. Mount Vernon is about as far away from where I live in Cortland Manor as you can be in Westchester County. So it's not the community I live in, but it's a community that had a need that sort of touched a nerve for me in that I'm not somebody who believes in entitlements. I'm not somebody who believes in handouts, but I am somebody who believes that every kid should have a shot at the American dream. And so for me, I've worked at the Mount Vernon Boys and Girls Club, with a mission to try to help the kids, and you know, and with a sense that if my efforts could allow one of them to have a shot to dream a bigger dream and to reach for it, that's a success. And if you know what we do can enable many, that's a miracle, and it's fantastic.
The Boys and Girls Club, whenever I interview someone who attended those or participated in those, there are those success stories. I'm familiar with the one in Mount Vernon, which you were so involved. I'm familiar with the one in New Rochelle. And you get these first-person stories of the help that people got. Denzel Washington, yep. For example, the one that you're engaged in. What is it about the Boys and Girls Club? What do they do that attracted you to them? What is their prime feature that makes them as successful as they are?
Look, I think every different, you know, every Boys and Girls Club is different, and in different communities, it means different things. Although I believe that what Boys and Girls Club stands for is a combination of both academic and sports. So, you know, the Mount Vernon Boys and Girls Club has produced a lot of notable basketball players. The McRae brothers, in addition to, Denzel Washington, who's not a basketball player, but was an athlete and played ball. But there are others also. Gus Williams came through it, and Lowe's Moore, who served as one of the directors of the club up until early this year when he retired, was a former basketball player as well. So certainly the athletic is critical, but you know, what our club does is the academics come first, and the kids, you know, have access to computers and the internet, which they may not have at home, believe it or not, living again in Westchester County, but not every household, can afford internet access. And so, you know, we've created an environment where they can go to study. We've also created an environment where it's safe for them. It's a safe haven. It's a place where they have the ability to focus on their studies and then focus on having some good, clean, solid fun. And the combination of those two things is, you know, has a dramatic impact. And, you know, I can tell you that the percentage of students who participate at the Mount Vernon Boys and Girls Club that go to Mount Vernon High School, that go on to graduation, is way higher than those who don't attend the Boys and Girls Club. So we have an incredible track record of keeping our kids in school, getting them to college, and opening doors for them that may not have been available to them otherwise.
It's an incredible story. How long have you been involved with the Mount Vernon Boys Club?
It's only been a few years for me. I think I've been involved for 3 or 4 years at this point. Fred Schwamm, who is the former CEO of American Christmas, which is a Mount Vernon company, is a good friend of mine. And Fred was very involved in the Boys and Girls Club. And Fred now serves as president of our board. And Fred sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Don, you know, you can bring some of your expertise to the club," and I have helped to really create the HR function at the Boys and Girls Club because of what I do as a former CEO and as a person now involved in executive search consulting and frequently working with HR executives. I've helped rewrite the employee handbook. We've created policies. We've sort of caught up with the times, and I've helped the club to recruit some of the new leadership that's been coming in. So Fred sort of tapped me on the shoulder 3 years ago and said, "Hey, come and join me and help." And it's a labor of love for Fred, and it's become a labor of love for me as well.
Folks, just a reminder, this is Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Bob Marone. This is our nonprofit spotlight segment. And I have to tell you, we have a wonderful guest with us, Don Zinn. And Don, as you've heard, has a background in executive search. He's been a CEO and he's an entrepreneur. He's been that too, we should say. But we're talking about his involvement in the Boys and Girls Club and his involvement in other kinds of philanthropy. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Rockland County, Spring Valley.
Okay. And Did you always want to be in management? Was being a CEO or a search firm guru, was that always in your...
I was always very focused on solving puzzles and figuring things out. And fresh out of school, out of Cornell, I spent a couple of years learning how to sell. I got into technology. I worked for an IBM company and then a Chase company. And because I didn't understand technology, I focused on business solutions. And lo and behold, that was what people wanted to buy. And after 4 years, at the age of 25, back in an era when young kids were not starting companies. Today, it's very, very different. But back then, you know, young kids were not starting companies. I got in my head that the success that I was achieving was based on the fact that I treated my customers with respect, that I was someone they could trust, and that I was someone who would find a solution. And I went out and recruited two friends, and we went out and started our first business. And so, you know, it wasn't something that I had ever planned on, but, you know, there was, I had a sense that I could do it differently and hopefully I could do it better. And had a sense that the worst thing that would happen back then was that I would fail and be humbled and then go back and get another job and work for somebody else again. But it turned out we didn't fail, and we ended up growing an Inc. 500 company back in the days when they were 500. Today it's a 5,000. But
yeah, so, you know, what was the business?
So we grew my first company, Management Dynamics. We were what would today be called a business intelligence technology consulting firm. And we worked with some of the great Westchester companies of that era. General Foods was our first client on Westchester Avenue. General Foods is a name from the past, but their brands continue to exist, Post Cereal and Maxwell House Coffee and Jell-O Gelatin. And we worked with those with them on sort of harnessing the power of the data that was being collected at supermarkets back in the day when you know, Harvard MBA product managers would come in Monday morning and there'd be a stack of computer printouts this high on their desk, giving them data that they didn't know what to do with. So Management Dynamics was focused on helping turn that data into useful and usable business information. And so I ran that company for 11 years. We sold it in the late 80s. We started in 1980. In 1991, the company was sold. The company that acquired us was sold to what's now Verizon. And I walked away at that point and started a second company that we sold to R.L. Polk, the automotive statistics company out in Detroit, which is now, I think, doing over $300 million a year in business. So that was an interesting opportunity that we created that Polk has taken advantage of. And then in the internet bubble era, I had my biggest shot where we created a company called Cognet that went from zero to about 300 people in 15 months. Opened up offices all over the country. We raised over $20 million in venture and private equity capital. We acquired a company in Israel and Haifa as our development lab. It was a real exciting ride. Unfortunately, when the internet bubble sort of burst, we hadn't quite made it through the golden doors yet. So after a few years of doing some interim CEO work, I sort of got to a point where I took a look at trying to understand what I loved doing. And I realized that operating tech companies wasn't really my passion. The passion was figuring out how to put the puzzle pieces together that made up the organizations that I had run. And I looked at the world of search. Excuse me?
What were they? What are those puzzle pieces?
Well, the people. I mean, really constructing the team. I mean, businesses and organizations, not-for-profits as well, succeed based on the people that you bring in, and not just how powerful they are as an individual, but it's, you know, the whole needs to be much greater than the sum of the parts. And so sort of, you know, those puzzle pieces, putting that together, was something that I found really, really fascinating. And look, it took me a long time to figure out when I first started out, Bob, when you introduced me as a vice president. I recently got promoted to senior vice president, and I'm 66 years old. And I realized that was the first time in my whole life that I had been promoted.
That, Well, you were always your own guy, too.
Because I went from being an entry-level salesperson to being the CEO. And so I'd never been promoted before this promotion I got a couple of months ago. But what did that tell you? It meant I had never been a manager. I never hired people. I was running a company, and I had to learn things through the school of hard knocks by making lots of mistakes. But over time, if you succeed, you don't make those mistakes twice. And so I was able to figure it out. And at this point, I'm at the stage of my career where I can share that wisdom and help companies to find game changing talent. And I think that's, the opportunity you have every time you make a significant hire is to really change the game. And so that's how I engage with clients and really bring, I think, that operational value of having been a CEO to the table in search.
Two observations. One is this dynamic in you that is the maestro rather than the musician, arranging all the different components of the band, from the strings to the horns, to the rhythm section, etc. Is that fair and a fair assessment? And number two, I've met you several times before this interview. And there's what is that old term? A hail, hearty, hello. Well, you have a way about you which is very, very likable. And you seem, I'm sure you have your bad days, but you seem always to be positive. How much is intellectual capital and how much is this gift you have for sending out a welcoming message in your character?
In terms of intellectual, I don't think there's a prayer in the world that Cornell would accept me today. Back in those days, I think when I got in, the standards must have been lower. Bob, I bring passion and energy to what I do, and I think that becomes contagious to a certain extent. And I'm at the stage of my career where I really care. I've engineered a career and a place for myself now where I'm doing what I love doing every day, and so I'm never going to retire. I mean, I'm having too much fun, and and accomplishing too much at this point. So
yeah, you really are. Okay, what about the old? As an executive, as a guy that recruits people, it's always been an old act that 80% of the people, or rather 20% of the people, do 80% of the work. And it's always been thus. And you obviously are one of those creatures. Having said that, when did this philanthropic bug get you? And why is it that the people who seem to work the hardest and could be so selfish go and give so much back? Why do you do it? Why do other people do it?
I can't talk to others. I can tell you for me, I always had a sense of the word legacy. And I always felt that I wanted to leave the world at least a little bit better place than when I arrived. There was more to just keeping score in terms of dollars and cents, and that, I was fortunate, but the truth of the matter is my most significant charitable involvement was really in the building of the Maria Ferrari Children's Hospital, and that came to us. I mean, that was really my first significant involvement. But I got there because my son Jason was a cancer patient in the hospital before there was a children's hospital. Oh, wow. When he and I walked out the front doors of that hospital holding hands instead of, as we had been promised by the doctors, taking him out the back door in a box. I apologize for being so vivid. But I sort of turned around and looked at the doors there, and I said, "I'm never, ever, ever going to forget." And so for the next 10 or 15 years, I was a very active participant from the day we broke ground to raising money to designing the rooms to doing anything we could there. Um, And
allow me to add this for listeners and viewers. Maria Ferrari is an iconic institution now. So kudos to you. How is your son today?
He is 36 years old, healthy, well, the father of one. I have one granddaughter and a second one that's due in a couple of months. So
okay, I'm going to get selfish here. I have two grandchildren. Are grandchildren not one of the greatest things that have ever happened to you in your life?
Absolutely, although COVID has made it tough because they live in Florida and we haven't been able to be down to see them since March. So, we look forward to this passing and being able, thank God for FaceTime, however, and for this, videos, so we can participate with her.
How old is the first grandchild?
She's 2.5.
You will become addicted. You will have yet another thing to add to your what I consider a wonderful life. Now the hard part of the interview. You held this outing 2 days ago on behalf of the Boys and Girls Club. A, tell us a little bit about it. But before we do, it's time to fess up. How's your golf game?
Fess up. We played reasonably well on Monday.
Reasonably well. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we had a blast. COVID forced us to do this a little differently than the typical. We had to go out in two different groups. We didn't have the big gala dinner and honoree that we normally had, but we did get 120 participants and lots of corporate sponsors. It was a highly successful event. The weather was gorgeous. Everybody had a great time, and we raised a lot of money for the kids, and it'll make a difference in a year where suddenly just having internet connectivity at the club is not enough for the kids. We needed to make sure that every kid has a laptop at home and can get internet connectivity at home, because they can't always come to the club because of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And so, we've had additional requirements and additional needs, and we had a very successful gala earlier in the year that we did virtually, which was amazing, the participation mm-hmm. we got without the dinner, and the golf outing on Monday was a tremendous success. So we love the people in Westchester County. We appreciate the support we get. We were sold out at the event, and it'll make a big impact.
Wow. Okay, the last question. I know this is tough for you, but it's always great to ask this question for very successful people. Do you want to give us your score on Monday?
I should have an 89.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's respectable. Unless you're a pro, anything in the 80s is great for me. And I'm sure for you.
I struggled a little, but we had fun.
Yeah, I bet you did. One really truly last thing. Before you go, this is Nonprofit Spotlight. What separates the good ones from the mediocre ones? What keeps a good nonprofit running?
Look, I don't know of bad not-for-profits. I think that there's so many great causes out there. The difficulty is there's too many of them, and we can only do what we can do. I think this is the cause, the Mount Vernon Boys and Girls Club that I believe in, because to me, Bob, I grew up in a very modest family where both of my mom and dad were teachers. We had everything we needed, but I never had everything that I wanted. And anything I wanted, I had to go out and work for. And what I built in my life is something that I built. And to me, sometimes I pinch myself, but that's not the important point. The important point is I believe that every kid should have that chance. And it's vitally important for them to. And so I think what makes this a great not-for-profit is we have the chance to really touch the lives of individual children in our community, to make a difference, to give them the motivation, to give them the direction, to give them the strength, to give them the ability to dream. and to give them the ability to, you know, to rise above, you know, what is potentially poverty, you know, and difficult economic conditions, and to bring themselves up to being a success, to living out their dreams. And, you know, if we can do that, that makes this just a great charity where we really impact one child at a time, but can really make a difference.
Well, Don Zim, it has really been an honor to talk with you because of what you've done, but also fun. Don Zim, the man, is probably more important than Don Zim, the businessman, the successful entrepreneur, the recently promoted senior vice president at Stephen Douglas. I want to thank you very, very much for your time today and wish you nothing but the continued success that you've had. Enjoy your golf game. Enjoy your grandchildren. And thank you. Thank you for what you did for the Boys and Girls Club. I'm sure I speak for all of them with my gratitude. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Bob. We appreciate the opportunity to get the message out to people. Thank you for all you do as well.
Okay, thank you so much. Folks, this has been another edition of Nonprofit Spotlight here on Westchester Talk Radio. I'm Bob Marone. Remember, Westchester Talk Radio is produced by Shaw Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. And once again, we say thank you to Don Zim, the Senior Vice President and Executive Search at the Stephen Douglas Company. Thank you so very much, sir.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.